8:45 now at WFIR. Morgan Griffith seeking a fifth term in Congress representing Virginia's 9th District. It covers just about all of Southwest Virginia, starting roughly from U.S. 220 going west all the way to Kentucky and Tennessee. And he joins WFIR's Evan Jones and I live this morning right here in our studio. Morgan, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here with you.
Good to have you here. Now, Morgan, your challenger, Anthony Flagoveto, says tax cuts passed under President Trump disproportionately benefit corporations and the wealthiest. Morgan, you represent some economically distressed counties in the far Southwest. What can you point to that demonstrates to them that they have benefited from the cuts?
Well, I think the article that we saw last week in the Roanoke Times about Volvo hiring 300 people since the beginning of September, 800 people this year alone, which they credited directly to the tax cuts. You know, my opponent doesn't seem to understand that corporations create jobs, and those people now have good-paying jobs with benefits, et cetera, because of what we did last year on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And you look across the district, all across the district, whether they be large corporations like Volvo or small mom-and-pop shops, they are adding people, they're investing in the community, they're investing in businesses, and in some cases, the tax cuts allowed a business to stay open. That helps everybody. And the tax cuts, based on a percentage and a formula and so forth, actually benefited the middle class more than it benefited the corporations, because the corporations pay such a large portion of the taxes. They're obviously going to get more back, but they're not getting as much back pro rata as the average family is getting back. And I think that's important. But the bottom line is we have people going back to work, and if you don't have a job and suddenly you have a job, that's a big deal, and that's a benefit to you.
But along that line, President Trump did recently suggest that he would propose another 10% cut, specifically, it seemed, aimed at the middle class. Critics are saying, well, that shows that the present tax is unfairly disproportionate. Do they have a point that if he's going now for middle class, that maybe it wasn't balanced right?
No, I think it's more that the president has liked the taste of that ice cream sundae, and he's going back for another scoop. That's what I think's going on. He says, you know what, this really got the economy going. It's doing great things. I want to keep the economy rolling. Let's go in and see how we can continue consumer confidence, how we can continue building the American economy. I haven't seen his proposal yet. I'll have to make a decision after I have an opportunity to read it. But the bottom line is, I think that's what's going on. It's not because what we did last year didn't help the middle class. It's because the president sees an opportunity that he believes we can do even more to help the middle class and stimulate this economy further.
We are speaking with Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith, seeking a fifth term from the 9th District. Now, Mr. Flacavento supports raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, offering tuition-free public college to help them, in his words, to level the playing field. Now, are those steps, or are they not reasonable ways to help some people up the economic ladder?
Well, and it's interesting because the other night in our third debate, he started coming up with exceptions to his $15 an hour minimum wage. And by the time you got through with the exceptions, you didn't have much of a national minimum wage left. So it's clear that, and as he's gone out and talked to people, he's realized what I've realized, and that is that you end up hurting a lot of job opportunities. When you go to a set standard at that higher level, what you really want to do is create more jobs so you have competition, which we now have in the workplace. There are more jobs available than people seeking jobs in the United States right now. That means there's competition for every position. When you have competition and people want to hire somebody who's got good skills or good quality individuals, they have to raise their wages in order to get those people to come to work for them. And as a result of that, wages will go up if you have a good, strong economy. And I think that's more important than getting locked into some arbitrary number with all kinds of bells and whistles. And as I said, he came up with a lot of different exceptions to his so-called rule.
Now, for better or for worse, it does seem that this election cycle inevitably does surround President Trump, his agenda, his decisions. Well, the 9th District voters overwhelmingly supported President Trump 2 years ago in the election, so is all this attention on him right now okay with you?
Yes. I mean, you know, there's no question. The district's a conservative district, and the district was frustrated with all the regulations from the Obama administration. Jobs were suffering across the district, but particularly in the coal fields. That's why the coal fields turned out 70% for President Trump. You know, do I wish that he could get infused a little Southern manners along the way? Yes, I do. I'm not comfortable with some of his New York City style antics, but let's face it, the policies that he has been pursuing, not all of them are perfect. There's certainly things that could be changed, but the policies have the country moving in the right direction, and we need to continue to move in that right direction, and the president needs allies in Congress who will help move the thing forward while keeping the president grounded in conservative principles. Every now and then he gets a notion to head off in a different direction. We sometimes have to help him, but we're working together as a team, and we're moving the country in the right direction, and I think it's very important that people turn out this fall and vote both for me and for Republicans generally, because if you want to keep moving the country in a better direction, this is the way to go.
What can you point to in the last 2 years where you voted against the president's wishes?
Oh, well, you know, we had lots of behind-the-scenes negotiations. There were a number of things in the House version of the health care plan that people didn't like, and that there was a lot of push and pull and back and forth. Most of that happens not on the floor where there's an actual vote, but in the back room when we're trying to get the votes put together. And the president's team will come over, and we'll go over and talk to the president and try to figure out how we can get the issues resolved. And you reach compromise, and the president is willing to compromise to get things done.
Here we are speaking with the 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. Along that same line, you've been in Congress now almost 8 years. What can you point to where you voted clearly against the wishes of your party's leadership?
Oh, my. There's so many of those.
Well, point to a couple that most come to mind.
Well, and most of the people who know me know that I'm a bit of a nerd and I'm a rules guy. And, you know, you're not supposed to vote against the rules. And I have voted, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 times against rules that I didn't think were right. I voted against the omnibus bill this spring because they gave it to us at, and I'm going to get the time slightly wrong, but they gave it to us at like 10 o'clock one night and expected us to vote on it the next morning. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's 2,200 pages long. And as one senior member said to me, but it's pretty much what we voted on last year. What we voted on last year was 600 pages shorter, and that's not counting what they took out. So there was about 1,000 pages in there that was all new language. And, you know, I'm like, no, not doing it. And, you know, leadership has gotten used to it. And so they're like, okay, we get it. I asked them to delay that vote. That was a Thursday morning. I said, make it Friday morning, and I'll get through it. I'll study hard, and I'll work on it. And they said, Morgan, we appreciate it. We don't think everybody else is as concerned about that as you are, and we think we've got the votes, and we're going to go ahead, and we know you're going to vote no. And I said, okay, as long as you understand, I'm not voting for something that I didn't have time to figure it out. Look, a bill that big, 2,200 pages, there are going to be some things I call candy apples, things I really like. Some of them are things I proposed, but there's also going to be a lot of toads. But I want to know the balance between the things I don't want to swallow, like a nasty-tasting toad, and the candy apples, so I make sure that the 9th District is getting a fair deal, or at least we're coming out breaking even or a little bit ahead.
Good morning. It is 8:53 at WFIR. Republican Morgan Griffith seeking a fifth term in Congress, representing Virginia's 9th District. Morgan with us in studio this morning. Morgan, between July and September, your campaign raised less than a half of Mr. Flagoveno's. Now, does that signal a surge of support for him?
No, I think if you take a look at it, you'll see that there are a lot of folks who are Democrats, and they're clearly stirred up this year. There's no question. Everybody talks about the intensity factor. And so people who may have previously given $50 or $200 to their Democrat candidate are now giving $2,700, and that makes a big difference. And so we're out there working, but when you're out talking to people on the street, we're very confident that people are still with us. It's a conservative district, and money's not going to change that. And as much as my opponent would like to think that would put him into the hunt, we feel very comfortable that we're doing just fine. And you'll notice that at least to this point, as of today, knock on wood, the National Party hasn't come in because they're just not moving the numbers in the 9th District. It's a conservative district with a Democrat who's running who, you know, insists on being called a progressive. I thought liberal was a little bit less left, and he insisted the other day with one of the TV stations that, no, he's not a liberal, he's a progressive. And he is endorsed by the Bernie Sanders Our Revolution group, only one of 27 nationally running for Congress to have that endorsement. So it puts him on the progressive left wing of the liberal Democrat Party.
How close are you in terms of tenure to achieving a leadership position, committee, or otherwise?
Well, I have a great committee assignment. I'm vice chairman of the Oversight and Investigations Committee, which is a perfect committee for me to be on. I will vie for that chairmanship if we have control, but I won't be the most senior person vying for it because that committee is so sought after. It takes a while to get your leadership or your seniority built up. But I think most people recognize that I am already one of the leaders behind the scenes on that committee, which is why the chairman allowed me to be on our letter, our what we call a nasty gram, to the opioid manufacturers, including Purdue, where we said we want to know what you knew and when you knew it about the addictiveness of it since you were selling it as something that was less addictive. That letter is a precursor to subpoenas if they don't answer our questions, and I'll be fighting hard to get those out. If they don't give us the information that we need and the American people deserve, then we will subpoena them and see where the chips fall.
When you first went to Washington, you, I'd say proudly, slept on a couch in your office. That was your home. Has that changed?
That has not changed. I still sleep on the couch. I still go down to the gym in the morning. You know, there's about 80 or 85 of us, including the current speaker and the current majority leader, who stay in their offices. But I still sleep on the couch, and as long as my back can handle it, I'll do it. You know, it's one of those things where I think it's actually good because I get more work done. But I also do it because my mother slept on the couch when I was a kid, so my sister and I could each have a bedroom. And every night I do that, I think about, you know, my mom. And I talked to her this morning, and she's doing fine for all those people that had her as a school teacher. But she's getting older and moving a little slower. But I think about her and the sacrifices she made for my sister Betsy and I.
All righty. Morgan Griffith, Republican, seeking a fifth term in Congress, representing Virginia's 9th District. Morgan, we appreciate you taking time. Good to talk with you this morning. Thanks for coming.
Glad to be here.